This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Jeff Sandhu, and Angeline Tay. Now, before we begin, I'm sure you would have heard already that Fave has acquired Groupon Malaysia. Well, just yesterday, Fave announced its acquisition of Deals and Discounts of Groupon Singapore.
Yep, this is the latest acquisition by Fave following similar move over here in Malaysia and Indonesia. So Groupon Singapore will see similar integration into Fave by mid-2017, according to Fave. And the transaction is expected to close later this week. The sum, however, you know, is undisclosed.
So Fave is aiming to innovate and also drive the O2O business across multiple lifestyles categories in Southeast Asia, including their fitness sharing platform K-Fit. Anyways, WikiLeaks is back again with yet another shocking exposé. It's a set of documents from WikiLeaks containing important details showed that the American Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA, have developed a method and technology for hacking devices that previously thought to have been secured.
Yeah, so according to the New York Times, Vault 7 is a software created by the CIA that was able to break through encryption on smartphones, computers, and smart TVs. And that's not all. The document also showed manuals on how the CIA utilizes malware to infect systems like Windows, Linux, and others.
Yeah, but one that was singled out here is the report of the vulnerability of Android devices, wherein it would appear that, you know, government hackers had found a way to access audio and message traffic before the point of encryption. Basically, instead of trying to break through the wall of a strong encryption, the hackers have opted to go around the unprotected sides, and the CIA has yet to confirm any of these allegations, but according to the latest reports, the FBI has opened up an investigation into determining the authenticity of this alleged leak. The sources say there is an effort to sift through the data to see what's real, and they're reacting to this as though it's authentic and this is a breach, which kind of tells that, you know, it could be true indeed.
Yeah, and it shouldn't come as a surprise, because there has been a low running tension between consumers, the government, and the tech industry. Each of these groups has their own interests, and they are often at odds. Remember the whole Snowden expose? You know, you see the general public doesn't want to be hacked, duh, of course, right? But the government has a desire for hackable tech, and the tech industry has a desire to make money, which typically involves that their products will not be hacked. So you can see the circle here and the problems.
Yeah, so it's just an example of what Vault 7 can do. It's when it infected to a device like an iPhone or an Android phone or even a smart TV, it allows the device to be turned into a complete listening device. So even if the device looks like it's turned off, it's actually still recording and it's still sending back all the info that it's capturing. This is whether it's audio, videos that are used by the camera, or the messages that comes in and out of the phone.
Oh my God, this is creepy. Anyway, Apple, however, has come out and said that they have fixed majority of the major flaws that was highlighted in the leaks, and Microsoft and Samsung have said that they are looking into this. But what's concerning here is that despite all the effort to get users onto end-to-end encrypted apps, this would just undermine all of this, right? Imagine if this gets onto the wrong hands, the worry is right there.
Yeah, so encryption is still hugely important, as it's meant to protect you from cyber criminals who are after your info. And it's also important to understand that with any kind of defense, it's really just a cat and mouse game, right? So for every wall that you put up, the attackers will find a smarter way to get through the other side, especially when there is huge money to be made. And with so many methods of covering your digital footstep, the chances of you getting caught is still so slim. So unfortunately, though, that's how the cybersecurity game is being played.
Yeah, this is already deemed as the biggest breach of trust since Snowden's expose, and we are still left with some important questions like has this been used at all, and to who, and for what, and why? And do these hacks mean the government can simply just scoop up data that we previously thought was encrypted? Or, you know, do they have to target you directly, and these tools just makes it easier for them? I guess we'll know more in the next coming days and weeks.
Yeah, so we'll have to take a short break because we don't know who's listening into us. Anyways, when we come back, we'll talk about a secret celebrity version of Tinder that's only for the privileged few. More on that next on BFM 89.9.
Bureaucratic failures multiply.
BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, and we're back with Enterprise Biz Bytes. Now, early on, we talked about Vault 7, its CIA secret spying tool revealed by WikiLeaks. So let's scale down from all that talk of encryption breaking and secret data extraction to something a lot simpler and easier to implement. Here's a very quick update on how the local authorities want to curb the problem of local businesses evading GST.
Yeah, so the Royal Malaysian Customs, or JKDM, will start installing dongles at every business premise that's registered with goods and services tax, which is GST, to make it easier to detect traders who are evading the tax. So for starters, this new dongle pilot project would be initiated around the Klang Valley starting in the middle of this month, which should cover about, 5,000 selected premises.
Yeah, so here's how this thing works. The dongle will be plugged into every cash register, which allows each transaction to be recorded and sent to the JKDM server at the customs headquarters. This device mechanism would enable the customs to know the real-time collection, thus encouraging traders to comply in submitting the first assessment statement, which is GST03 statement, and then ensure that they issue receipts to the consumers. And this initiative is, of course, part of the National Blue Ocean Strategy Operations 3.0, or CBOS 3.0 OP, which covers about 200,000 GST-registered companies at the moment.
Right now, the dongle project is in its testing stages. So basically, the device will be installed for a three-month period, and JKDM will monitor its effectiveness before they are made fully permanent. However, there are other factors to consider as well. And if they want to fully implement this system, JKDM will also have to depend on funds from the Finance Ministry.
Yeah, it seems like a simple and straightforward way to detect these tax evaders. But the only problem I can think of, it's like, you know, people start meddling and tinkering with these dongles, then it will be another issue altogether. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk about Tinder, the extremely popular dating app that has made the term swiping right as a yes and swiping left as a no. And I'm not sure about the success rate, but I can tell you, I think it's very, very low. But with the millions and millions of users, the thing about Tinder is you'll never know who you'll see on Tinder. And some of us have this dream that, oh, you know, maybe we might bump into a celebrity perhaps on Tinder. But you would have noticed that by now, celebrities aren't actually on Tinder. Or are they?
Wait, are you trying to tell me that Leonardo DiCaprio is on Tinder somewhere?
Well, actually, I'm telling you that Leonardo DiCaprio is swiping right on Nicki Minaj and she's swiping right on Benedict Cumberbatch somewhere. And all of this is happening on a secret version of Tinder that we normal folks will never be able to access.
That sounds really sneaky.
Yeah, I know. And you can sort of understand why they, you know, these kind of celebrities need privacy, though. But coming back to the story, Tinder has quietly set up a special members only of the app called Tinder Select. It sounds like Shell Select in a sense. I don't know why it just came to me. And basically what it does is, as the name suggests, it's only for the beautiful, famous and ridiculously wealthy to date and connect with them with one of another. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, for the simple, you know, unwashed masses, we need to be invited by special core members to the group to gain access to the secret social sphere.
So Tinder keeping the elite bloodlines clean, eh?
Mm.
Yeah, so Tinder Select has apparently existed for around 6 months and is doing very well. And the company was more than happy to keep its existence a secret until someone leaked the information to TechCrunch. And it's not the first time that Tinder has tried to accommodate the more famous groups of its clientele. Before this, they tried to implement a Twitter-style verification on people's profile.
Wow, so we don't really know how the app decides on who's famous and who's not, but like we mentioned, the only way to get in is by an invitation. And we can only assume that folks who get this, you know, an excessive number of right swipes are considered to join the rich and famous on Tinder Select. The same report on TechCrunch explains that while certain users have the power to nominate friends for inclusion, the numbers are kept strictly limited in order to preserve Tinder's select standards.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I'm imagining the old Roman cities where the elite come out on their balconies and look down at the common people below, and Tinder down here and Tinder select up here.
Yeah, let's not beat around the bush though. Now that this news is out, some smart aleck, I'm very sure, is going to find a way to get in and pose as a celebrity, and then, you know, hopefully, hilariously, the results are going to come out, be splattered all over the internet, right?
Well, me and you, Jeff, I just don't think we stand a chance of getting into that circle. Let's come back down to a peasant level mediocrity, and we'll take a quick break and be back with a story on Indonesia might be changing the future of transportation soon. BFM 89.9.
Business-filled minds. BFM 89.9.
And we're back on the final hurdle of Enterprise Biz Bytes. And by now, we've probably seen the Hyperloop train that's on Facebook, that one single track that will get you from Abu Dhabi to Dubai in just 12 minutes, and you get to travel up to 700 miles per hour. It's crazy, and they're calling this the future of transportation.
Yep, and guess what? Hyperloop Transportation Technologies, or HTT, is conducting a $2.5 million feasibility study for three possible routes in, drum rolls, Indonesia.
Wow.
It's coming to Southeast Asia, guys.
Yeah, so the Hyperloop is basically a long tube which is depressurized to the point of near vacuum. Inside, passengers carrying capsules float due to the magnetic levitation. And of course, it could also be used to transport goods. The near frictionless propulsion system makes the Hyperloop energy efficient as well.
Yeah, and HTT has just signed a joint venture agreement with Indonesian partners forming Hyperloop Transtech Indonesia on Tuesday. So the company will map out how it could develop Hyperloop systems on three routes, one in North Sumatra, one connecting airports across the island of Java, and the third connecting Jakarta with satellite town Tangerang.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that wouldn't it be cool if we do it here, connecting, say, Thailand to Singapore all the way, right? Anyways, for this initiative in Indonesia, integrated solar panels would make it even more energy positive, according to the COO, Bibop Gresta. And what this means is that it will produce enough energy that it needs, making it basically possible to monetize the transportation system through other means than just passenger fares. So they can actually sell off the excess electricity that they've generated, in a sense.
Yeah, the Hyperloop concept was first put forward by Tesla and SpaceX founder Elon Musk in 2013. Mm. So in a public paper, Musk sketched out the basic technological requirements and invited other entrepreneurs to commercialize this idea. But to make it real, it requires a lot of moolah. You know, who can build the first commercial Hyperloop?
Yeah, so that's the battle between Hyperloop One, which is the company who suggested the Abu Dhabi to Dubai track, and HTT, which is now in Indonesia. Both entities are trying to win partners and contracts around the world. HTT already employs a core team of 35 people and about 800 volunteers. Jeez, talk about working with speed.
Yeah, but there's a scheme for how volunteers are compensated in stock options for the work hours they contribute. So, but it's pretty amazing how Bebop, the COO of HTT, he shrugs off the negativity by saying that, you know, with unusual ideas require unusual solutions attitude.
Yep, I guess we'll just have to sit at the edge of our chairs and wait patiently for Hyperloop to be a reality in Indonesia. And with that, it's time to wrap up today's Enterprise Biz Bytes. At the start of the show, we talked about how Fave has now acquired Groupon Singapore as well. And just last month, they absorbed Groupon Malaysia. So it looks like Fave's footprint is getting bigger very soon.
We also covered the latest WikiLeaks dump, which claims the CIA successfully hacked encryption on Signal, WhatsApp and Telegram for Android. And this could be a big hit for encryption and a possible major breach of personal privacy affecting millions that depend on the end-to-end encryption for sending private messages. Let the debate on homeland security versus privacy begin all over again.
Oh, yeah. And then we spoke about how the Royal Malaysian Customs, or JKDM, will start installing dongles in business premises around Klang Valley first. And this is to detect people who are trying to evade the goods and services tax, or GST.
Yeah, we also spoke about how the rich and famous are probably on Tinder, but will never be able to to swipe right or left on them because they are on a super secret, I guess not so secret anymore.
Not so,
that is a secret version of Tinder called Tinder Select.
And lastly, Hyperloop Transportation Technologies, or HTT, says it's conducting a $2.5 million feasible study for three possible routes in Indonesia. So there we go. Hyperloop starting in Indonesia, hopefully. Anyways, coming up next is the Breakfast Grill replay.
Yep. Melissa Idris spoke to Kirk Chien Tung. She's the group executive director at Hup Seng Industries on their plans to take on challenges caused by the new Anti-Profiteering Act, which could hinder their ability to increase prices.
Yep. That's happening next. And this has been the Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you missed out any of these information and you need more details, do check out the podcast that will be uploaded very soon. We have all the links to the stories that we talked about today. You can get the podcast at bfm.my, or you should get the app on the iOS App Store or also Google Play. You've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.